The world has actually gone crazy. If you really think of it, we've gone so liberal that there's no more facts or truth. But I think it's the most exciting time that we're living. Because if there's one thing that people are crying out for is, who am I? Who are you? And there's only one group that can speak the truth. And that's us as Christians. So let me pray. Father, thank you that when we abide in your word, we shall know the truth and the truth shall set us free. Thank you, Lord, that you, Lord, know everything and you know all about us tonight. You know how much hair we've got on our head. You know, Lord, everything, every thought that we have thought today. And Holy Spirit, we thank you tonight for the freedom we have to trust you, to walk, Lord, into your kingdom. And that's why we say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Your presence is our exceedingly great reward. Lord, without you, we are nothing. Without you, we know nothing. Lord, we lay down our intellect, we lay down our pride, because we want to know by revelation who you are. So Holy Spirit, we pray that you open the eyes of our understanding, open the eyes of our heart. And we thank you for the freedom we have in Christ. Thank you for the righteousness we have in Jesus. You've become our righteousness so that we have boldness, Lord, to come to the Father tonight. And we thank you, Lord, for the cross. We thank you for the freedom of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to share just a couple of very, very basic thoughts. Like Pastor Tien said, I like to stick to the ABCs of the gospel. And because I know that one day on the 4th of April, 1989, a man walked into, I walked into somebody else's presence that I thought was just a religious being or somebody of my own making, but he changed my life forever. And that's the man from Galilee. That's the man that I love, who's my best friend, that I will not trade anything for, because he's come to change my life and he's come to set me free. I couldn't speak a sentence properly without stuttering. And I'll never forget it. Every time when I stand in front of you, I'm a bit nervous because I think, like, maybe there's one day when I'm going to try to do something in my own strength. And that day I will start probably stuttering again. But I'm completely dependent on him because he's the only one that has life and is life, and his name is Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but he said, I'm not giving you life. There's a whole thing in the church that says, hey, let's do some nice life coaching. let's tell you some good ways on how to have life. But Jesus said, I am life. Without him, outside of Christ and a relationship and a revelation of who he is, we don't have anything. We don't have life. It's only found in him. And I trust that tonight you will see him, the man that has fire in his eyes, the man that loves you, the man that loves this whole world, this broken world. Those same people that stood up there and said, hey, maybe there is no truth, maybe there is no life, maybe if it's good for you. But there is. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And I think we need to go to the beginning of the gospel in John chapter 1. And the question is simply, if somebody walks up to you, what defines you? If somebody would like say, hey, there's Bernie, you know, or there's Peter. If somebody would walk on the other side of the road and would need to shout out, hey, there's John, there's Cecilia, and then put something next to your name, what would that be? If somebody would say, hey, there's John, the son of, or there's Peter, the mechanic, or we all want to, there's certain definitions, or we think there are certain things that define us. And so right at the beginning of the gospel, there's probably the most important definition or thing that was put next to the name of Jesus or what he was defined by. And let's listen to what John said, John the Baptist. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Because there's some exclamation marks there. That's why I had to say it like that. I don't know how you read your scripture, but you should annoy people next to you when you read your scripture, because it's like, behold! Okay, so everybody's going to be awake, okay? It's like, attention, people! Listen, look, because you can miss him. Look, He looks like an ordinary man. Behold. But when you behold, it's not like with physical eyes. It's with everything inside of you. Look attentively. Behold. Because you may miss him when he passes by. Maybe you're going to just see him as an ordinary prophet. Maybe you're going to just see, well, he's the son of Joseph. Or maybe you're going to behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. And again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, oh, that is very flow. Okay. Yay! Okay, five of you got it. Okay. You must read your scripture differently. Okay, I don't know. Have you got the lower down King James Version? Okay. This is the new King James Version. Okay. But it's beautiful. The next day he says the same, the Lamb of God. Isn't it amazing that the first revelation of Christ from John the Baptist was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? It was in the context of sacrifice. It was in the context of the greatest ever. It's the forgiveness of sins who takes away the sins of the world. Let's never forget that. Let's never become professional Christians. Because the greatest gift or the greatest miracle in your life that you will see is not when somebody gets risen from the dead or when a paralyzed person begins to walk. It's when somebody's sins are forgiven. It takes away the sin of the world. No person can do that. Not your mother, not your father. Nobody can do that. It's only Christ that can take away the sin of your life and of my life. And that's why the gospel is good news. Every other religion is defined by fear and by your works towards a God. Or with atheism or agnostics or whatever, it's simply you become the God. But behold, the only one true religion is of Christianity, and that is of a God that takes away the sin of the world. And that's good news. Can somebody say amen? Listen to what Isaiah said about this promise of this Lamb. He said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. What a prophecy. Many, many years before Jesus came, behold, the Lamb of God. We see the whole interaction of God with the Old Testament and with the Jews in the Old Testament is all the sacrifices, everything was pointing towards this one, the Lamb of God. That was slain before the foundation of the world, the scripture says. But listen to this, the promises is just so huge. He says, by his stripes we are healed. We've gone all astray, but he's turned, we can come back to him. He was oppressed, he was afflicted for us, and yet he was silent. There wasn't a lot of people that Jesus said that he was the Messiah to. Do you know what? There was just a couple. Most of the times, even he would say, hey, be silent, don't tell anybody who healed you. You know, what we do in the charismatic church is we just write the next book about the next miracle. We're just like, hey, come on. We want to be famous. But you know what? There's only one that's going to take glory in heaven. There's only one that's going to be worshipped. You and I are not going to stand there in front. There's only one focus, one that's going to have all the attention when we get to heaven. It's not going to be you. It's not going to be I, and especially not people using this on a Sunday. There's only the one that's going to be glorious. And the angels say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who was and who is to come. My question to you tonight is, are you beholding, are you seeing that Lamb? Is your whole life directed towards pleasing him and worshiping him? Or is your life and your relationship with God directed to him pleasing you? And you're the center, and I'm the center. And just look at our prayers. Sometimes we just pray, oh God, please bless me. Look at some of our songs. Lord, please bless me. Oh, he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Now, I've got nothing against that song, but there are so too many of those songs. Oh, how he loves me. And that's true. But you can't sing 90% of the songs where the me and the I is at the center of the song. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold, holy, holy, holy. That's what the angels are going to sing. Not like, love, love, love. We all feel so loved. We all feel so accepted. It's going to be one song. Holy, holy. And it's going to be over and over again for the first trillion years. And then it's going to be repeated. There's going to be nothing boring. Okay? The next 50 trillion years after that. Holy, holy, holy. Now, if God is so huge that you don't get bored about singing the same song over and over, that's why I love African people. I mean, because they sing 3 hours the same song. You know, we need a song every 2 minutes, you know. You know, that one, we've repeated that one 2 times, you know. Wait till you get to heaven, sir. I think African people are going to be straight in front. Okay? 4 hours on the same song. Hallelujah. Yeah. Say it, Auntie Mama Sylvia. Okay, here we go. But listen to this. When we look at the Lamb, we'll see something. We'll see the heart of the Father. And that's why we are living. There's a massive identity crisis in the world. If there's one thing people are searching for is, who am I and why am I here? And it's now time for the church to stand up. Everybody is trying to define society. Everybody is trying to make sort of a way through this life. And in Jesus' time, it was no different. Because you know what? There was oppression, and the Romans oppressed the Jews. And so everybody was looking for some way out. And we see late in Jesus' life, he stood still and then he asked his disciples, but who do you say that I am? And who do the people say that I am? And Peter said, oh, well, some say you're a prophet. Some say you're Elijah that has come back. And then Jesus turns to them and to Peter and looks him straight in the eyes and says, but Peter, who do you say that I am? Because you and I, our lives cannot be defined outside of first our confession as to who Christ is. Because your life cannot be something separate than when you see Christ. Because only he defines. Only he gives identity. Only he releases you into who you really are. But it's in a place where you look at him, don't look at yourself for your identity, amen? Too many people, I said this morning, you know, there's a guy there in Stellenbosch, close to where I live. I drive past there because I pray for him often. He's got a garage that's got a glass door in because he's got two very fancy cars. I think the one is a Lamborghini and the other one a Porsche, you know? And every time I drive with my young son past there, he looks like, look at the car. I say, it's going to burn. I just have to say that sometimes, you know, because this guy installed like a glass garage door so that everybody that drives by can say, ooh, and they even put a speed bump. I think he asked for the speed bump in front of his house so that everybody can slow down and look like, whoa. So there's a lot of people talking about the speed bump and because they get angry at the speed bump, but then they stop and they look like, whoa, glass doors in my garage, you know. So that people can see my car. But let's not show our heart. But isn't it amazing that with God, God exposes himself through Jesus Christ. God shows everything to us. And then he invites us to more. Listen to this in Hebrews 1 verse 1 to 3. Jesus, we bring the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I love this picture. It says, it's almost like God is, when we look at Jesus, we'll see the Father. When we look at the heart of Jesus, when we look at the way that he treated people, the way that he laid down his life, we see the express image of God the Father. And in that place, that's where we find our identity. That's the place. In the place of surrender to who he is. In the place of surrender to what he has done. There's a place where there's such a brokenness that God is calling you and I to. And we are afraid to go there because we're hanging on to our own worldly identity. We like to be defined as the engineer. The doctor. the whoever or what job we do. And then we do become workaholics. Because if we're really honest, we like to control. We like to determine. We just like other people to say certain things about us. But that's all fake. And I'm not saying it's wrong to be called a doctor. I mean, if you need to be a doctor. But what is God going to say when you get to heaven? What is He going to say? And what are you going to say to Him? Because one day you're going to stand in front of Him and it's going to be you alone. Your wife is not going to be there. Your children is not going to be there. It's going to be you in front of God. And then I think the question He's going to ask you is, what did you do with my son Jesus Christ? What did you do with the sacrifice I sent you? What did you do with the express image of my heart? I think He's going to ask everybody that question. And determined by how you responded, how you lived out this life, for some of us He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And for some people He's going to say, depart from me, because I do not know you. God cannot know you outside of the express image of His Son. And I think Jock said it, you know, that price tag, that what's going to be on your head? Jesus, bought with a price, exchange the old Greg for the Greg in Jesus. And people, I'm just talking about life. I'm just talking about the very simple gospel. Who are you? Who am I? You see, when we build our lives according to the world and the values of the world and the world system, we're going to allow certain other things to define us, or we're going to allow the blood of Jesus to define us. And that's why you and I can, when we come to God, Hebrews says that we can have a boldness to approach the throne room of God by the blood of Jesus. It's again, we are defined by what Christ has done. We're defined by the place and the position that we occupy spiritually because of Christ. Listen to this. In the foundation, when we look at different foundations, there's a couple of things I want to throw up there, and it's already up there. Thank you very much. Are you determined by value, monetary value, or by worth? What do you place? You're going to choose one of the two. Are you living by fear, or are you living by faith? The one is a kingdom identity. The one is a kingdom authority, and the other one is a worldly authority, a worldly way of thinking. Are you living by shame, or are you living by honor and respect and the fear of God? Are you living in unforgiveness, or are you living in true freedom? Rejection or God's acceptance, saying, I'm God's beloved. I remember one day I grew up in a home where my father really blessed me and my mother, and it's a good, stable home. But there's one thing my dad never told me until I was 18 years old, and that's, I love you, son. And you know, if you don't hear those words, you grow up with rejection. You grow up with performance, and you try to do all these good things. And then you come in your relationship with God, and you do exactly the same. And you think, like, maybe God is going to just reject me, you know? Maybe I'm not going to be good enough for God. Because look at that guy. He's, like, really spiritual. Look at that guy. He's really making it. But, you know, I remember one day going to preach at another church, and the Lord said to me, I must start this sermon like this. Hello, everyone. I am a blessing to you tonight. And if you receive me as a blessing, God is going to bless you. And I was thinking, like, this must be the devil. How can God tell me to do something like that? It's going to look, people are going to think I'm arrogant. People are going to think, like, but I realized that God was taking me on a journey because of me, not because of the people. That was, I think I didn't sleep for two nights that week because I was wrestling through this. I was just saying, God, this is like pride. I'm going to fall into pride. People are going to say I'm proudful. And then I remember the Holy Spirit said so clearly to me, He said to me, only I will tell you. Don't even try to tell yourself that you're proudful or humble. Only I can tell you if you're humble. I felt like the rapture must take place at least 4 times before that Sunday, because I was just thinking like, this is crazy. I've never done something. But I remember I started that sermon. I said, you know what? God says I'm a blessing. And because God says I'm a blessing, who am I to disagree as to what He says about me? And if you receive me tonight, because of the name I come in, you're going to receive a blessing. And God is going to heal you. God is going to set you free. The moment when I said that, people were getting healed all over the place. It was the shock of my life. It wasn't a good sermon either, but we just saw so many healings. I was trying to intellectually engage what God said I must do. I was trying to figure out, how is this going to work, you know, because the outline isn't so nice and the everything is not aligning with, you know. But the most amazing thing happened, healings everywhere. Three people that were deaf could not hear. And they heard after that. Nobody prayed for them. Their ears just popped open. Just like that. There was no prayers. Yo, what? It happened like that, you know? Yes. Say what? Yeah. We're getting to an African. Yeah, this is great. This is Africa. Okay. Preach it back at the pastor. I mean. But the amazing thing is when you and I begin to walk, and that's what Romans says, when we begin to walk in what God says about us. The same for this church. What does God say about this church? I love what Stephen Lunger said when his wife died. And he walked into the hospital. His two daughters were there. Last year, his wife died, and she was dead for 15 minutes. And the doctor came out and said, Mr. Lunger, you must choose the mortuary where your wife is going. I love what his response was. He said, Doctor, God has got the final word. And the doctor said, I'm a medical doctor. So choose the mortuary. Your wife is dead, sir. He says, Doctor, I'm sorry. God has got the final word. And 15 minutes later, she rose from the dead. Do you believe that God has got the final word over your life? Do you really believe that? Who determines who you are? I want to challenge you tonight. Stop listening to the world. Stop listening and defining yourself through the workplace and through, because there's a massive challenge coming to the church. If we're not secure in that, but I believe that Roman scripture, Romans 8, verse 15 to 19, at the end it says, the whole world, the whole of creation is eagerly awaiting in anticipation for the revelation of the true sons of God. We will begin to stand up in true humility as to who we are and who God is. Because you can never know who you are unless you know who God is. Amen? This is not a self-seeking, be a better you. Have a better Thursday because it's almost Friday. Start your Monday with yellow so that it's not blue. It's amazing, you know? The other day, I walked into a Christian bookshop, and I walked there, and I thought like, oh, my chuna, you know? I went to the Bible section to at least just look at if it is a Christian bookshop. Because when you walk through the books, become a better person. Fly higher. I'm going through one or the other, and then I open up the books, and I think like, oh, my chuna. Find the scripture and win a Bible. Get 10 scriptures and be happy. And I'm thinking like, it's almost like they're writing the chapters and they're pasting one scripture on top of them at the beginning of the chapter just to like, this is also a Christian book. I'm thinking like, crazy. But let the word define you. My question is, what is God saying about you? Because He's got the final word, sir. Because He started right from the word go, and He said, this is my son. He said it to Jesus. The Father opened up the heavens and says, you're my son. I love you. I'm proud of you. You're my beloved son. And then the second time when God spoke audibly is when Moses and Elijah and some of the disciples were up there, and he says, "This is my beloved son, hear him. I've got a call on his life. Listen to what he's going to say." Unless you and I come there, we're going to be thrown by everything that comes our way. Where first you know who you are, and then secondly, why you're here, why God has called you. There are many Christians today, you ask them, if you wake them up in the middle of the night and say, "Why are you here?" I'm sleeping in my bed. "What's your life purpose?" Most people are just like, And obviously God is not going to give us all the detail. But what makes your spirit come alive? What makes you what makes you like wake up in the morning? What makes you go to bed at night where you just realize, like, wow, even if all else fails, I know God's word will stand over my life? You know, some of you may have heard this story. And there's a Tani Helen Africa. She was in Stellenbosch's church, and she went to Cape Town to stay with the children. But when I was in India a couple of years ago, I almost died. It's happened a couple of times. You know, because the food there is different. Okay, it's my stomach does not accommodate with all the food. So, but I remember coming back to Mumbai, and you can ask Pastor Bernie, he's also been there once or twice. But coming back to Mumbai, and I was like, I had so much fever. I was, you know, just at the end of myself. I was lying there in this little motel thing, and it just, and I still said to Yaku Prinsloo, who's the pastor, one of the pastors in Pretoria, and I said to him, "Hey, you go out, you go and visit those pastors. I'm staying right here. I feel I'm going to die." And they prayed for me, but it just got worse. Yeah. And I remember I actually started to like almost hallucinate. It just went like everything went around and I thought like, okay, I'm going to go to the toilet. It took me about 45 minutes just to get from the bed to the toilet. And there was like a shower over the toilet. Everything is small in India. And so I was just dragging myself to the toilet when I visited and ministered to the White Throne Judgment over there. A couple of times, everything, you know, was streams of living waters was gushing out from every place. But in any case, so I lied there on the floor, and I really felt this is the end. You know, this is, I'm going to die now. You know, something, I don't know if you've ever been at a place like that. You just feel like, "Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit now. Take me, beam me up, Lord," you know. Just here I go. And I remember then I said, "God, help." You know, it's a very powerful prayer. It's very powerful. And I remember these words came to me three times, audibly. "You shall live and not die." And after the third time I stood up, I was healed instantly. I was 100% right, focused, ready, could go jog. And I was like, I stood there, I was just so amazed. And about 2 weeks later, or 3 weeks later, came into the church one morning, and so just going on, forgot about the story, and this little old lady, Tani Helen Africa, walks up to me, says, Pastor Silas. In Africa, they call me other names, Pastor Sias and all that type of stuff, but you're not allowed to say that, okay? But this is church, okay? So, but so yeah, she walks up to me. She says, Pastor Silas, can I ask you a question? Because I want to ask you if some words really mean something to you. Because about 3 weeks ago, one morning, the Lord woke me up early in the morning, and He said to me, I must cancel everything. I must pray for you for the whole morning. And I prayed for you for 4 hours, till about 12 o'clock. Because at 12, He said, it's okay. It's finished. It's done. You can go on with life. But for 4 hours, I prayed these words. You shall live and not die. Does that mean anything to you? I stood there. Thank you, Tani Helen, saving my life. Because God has got the final word. You see, but we become professional Christians, you know? We are so good at pretending. But when you're children, and stop interrupting me now, because now you're interrupting me so that I must tell another story. I know that. You know, when you teach your children and you say, hey, be honest, whenever you're in trouble, just call out to God. So one morning early, 2 a.m., I wake up and I hear these words, help, Jesus, help, help. And I'm thinking like crazy, somebody's being attacked. I jump up, I run, and here I see one of my children in the toilet. Shh, Sylvia, don't say the name, okay? And he's been vomiting and he's been sick. And I run to him because we said, just call out to Jesus whenever you need help. And after he prayed that, he was instantly healed. I said, what's happening? He says, no, I'm healed. Goes back to bed. But see, we forget, eh? Because we try to fix our own lives. We try to actually save ourselves. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Revelation 5 verse 1 to 14. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and on the four and of the four living creatures and the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though he had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. And then I looked and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and glory and honor and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And then everybody said, amen. Don't we forget that we ever forget that we are eternal beings. And Revelation gives us just glimpses of that. You can go and read in Revelation chapter 19. I'm not going to read verse 1 to 15. Same pictures of people throwing themselves. And in the middle of that worship is the Lamb of God. Is the Lamb, is the sacrifice of God. He's the freedom that he bought for you and for me and for this whole world. So stop looking to yourself for salvation. Stop looking to yourself for your own spiritual nice things that we bring to God. Behold the Lamb. That's my message to us tonight. Because you know what? It's so easy. And I remember they said to Reinhard Bunker once, they said to him, Reinhard, you're getting old, you know. You're busy dying. You must slow down a little bit, you know. Retire. And he had a frown apparently on his head. And he said, I'm like a Boeing 747. At the end of the runway, you don't find any brake marks. It's just liftoff. But for us, you know, the older we get, the more critical and the more negative we get. And we lose our passion for God. We lose the ability to see. We lose that that freshness of the cross. We lose the beholding. Just like when you stand and you're in nature and you say, wow. And you see this beautiful picture of nature and you just go like, wow. That's what you're going to be like before God. Wow. And see, when you read scripture, why do we lose the wow? When the devil tries to defile us and he tries to make you not see. And he does that through many ways, through sin, through pornography, through stuff. He tries to trap you not to see. But scripture says, even in Hebrews, it says, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and went to sit at the right hand of the Father. Run this race, casting down every weight, every sin that so easily ensnares us, that holds you back. But he says, look unto Jesus. So what are you seeing tonight? When you wake up in the morning, what do you see? Where do you go? What are the places where you try to like, I'm going to survive. There's a couple of people I want to pray for tonight as we closing and going to spend some time in the presence of God. And you know, they say about the eagle, that the eagle is like a solitary bird. The eagle is a bird that flies high up there, doesn't flap its wings. And I remember many years ago, I was going through a very tough time of heaviness and all that stuff. And I was on the farm where I grew up and we were standing. And then the Lord said to me, go outside. And I said, so I went outside. He said, look up. And as I looked up, I saw an eagle flying and it just flew over me. But there were a lot of small little birds trying to get what the eagle had in its claws. Or do you say paws, claws, in its claws. And so these little birds were trying to get what the eagle had, and it sort of, the eagle got annoyed and it was just like frustrated, and it was like flying and it was flapping its wings and it was diving and all of that stuff. And I realized, like, and then there was about six or eight birds, just like, I think it was like these starling birds, it was gunning for its claws, you know. And the eagle just went up and down and was like such a frustrated, you could see it was so frustrated. And then something changed. I'll never forget it in my life. The next moment, the eagle decided enough is enough. And it just like went straight up. It just went up. And as it just went higher and higher, these little other birds, these starlings, they just could not get to the altitude where the eagle was. And the eagle was so high, just saw a little spot, and all these other birds were down here. But the eagle was up there. And then suddenly just locked its wings and it started to soar. It just went on the wind. And I realized those who mount up, those who wait on the Lord, they will run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Right there. I never read the scripture, but then God just dropped into my spirit Isaiah 40 verse 31. And I went to my Bible and I said, what is this? Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. But see, when you flap your wings all the time, we get so busy. We get so distracted. We get so performance orientated. And God says, I want you up there. Because one thing that the eagle has, it has got sight. It can see. So will you stand with me tonight? There's some of us here tonight that God wants to just refresh your sight. Behold the ability to see Him. Not to see things, not to see breakthroughs. And I really believe that God is beginning to stir the prophetic. God is beginning to do things here in your midst. But your mission is Christ. Your mission is to know Him. Your mission is to behold the Lamb. Because once you've seen that, you'll begin to tell the whole world. You'll begin to show the whole world. But some of us, we get so busy flapping our wings. We get so busy with the things of this world. We get so that we forget. Just say, help Jesus. Simple prayer. We get so complicated in the way that we approach Him. We get so focused on doing all the right stuff. So that we in charge, and so that we actually say to God, God, I'm presenting to you a perfect person. Behold the Lamb.